Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting birthdays today. James Montgomery Flagg. He's the guy who designed the poster "I Want You," which is Uncle Sam pointing at people, and of course has gone through many variations over the years since it's in the public trust. It's also today the birthday of Jeanette McDonald, and I think we ought to play just a little peep from her. She's such a she was born in Canada, like so many of our actors. But, and I think this is appropriate for her. Where is she? Singing San Francisco. Seeing that there's so much emphasis on us these days. Where is she? Where is Jim? Here we go.
You've lost it. I'd like to see Burley's face when he hears about it.
I'd like to see the face of all that gang of bastards over there.
Well, here's to Supervisor Norton.
How do you do now?
Tiny corner of this great big world to
places, all the places only make me love you best. Tell me, tell me.
Now, she sang in another Canadian Mountie film, I think it was Rose Marie, but another one of Canada's great exports to the United States. Among the other musicians who were born today, Sammy Kahn, who wrote a lot of popular songs, and of course, the ubiquitous Paul McCartney. In the entertainment world, we had Richard Boone, who started, I think, in Paladin. He was a descendant, I think he's still living, of Daniel Boone. The first skin cap. And then, of course, we have John Jay, better known Jay Rockefeller, senator from West Virginia of the Rockefeller family, married Sharon Percy, the twin sister of the other Percy girl who was brutally murdered in 1965, I think it was. And I remember driving back from California when we heard about that murder. Senator Charles Percy was running for the U.S. Senate against Paul Douglas. He later won. Paul Douglas was one of the stalwarts in the U.S. Senate, professor of economics at the University of Chicago, a liberal, very honest man, and a great statesman. Didn't agree with him on many things. He also joined the U.S. Marines when he was in his late 40s, and he enlisted in World War II and was a Marine. Quite a remarkable man. He was defeated after the brutal murder of Sharon Percy's sister, which to this day remains unsolved. Also, another Illinoisan, Roger Ebert of the Ebert Movie Reviews, Siskel and Ebert, it was known. Siskel and I had the same birthday. Siskel, Chicago columnist, died of cancer, unfortunately. Ebert has a major problem. He had cancer of the jaw. He has a beautiful black woman who's his wife. She helps him out and keeps him going. And he wrote some great movie reviews. And then the daughter of Ingrid Bergman, Isabella Roselli, was born today. Among the deaths today, a great actress with a great voice from the famous Barrymore family, Ethel, died at 79. And one of my favorite films with her is Rasputin. And maybe we'll play a clip from that. All of our audio and visuals come from either the work at KLW or Western Public Radio, or from our archives, the Carson Brazola archives. So it's stuff that's already been in the broadcast archives, and also since we are educational, we're not asking you for money. Among the other deaths today, probably one of the greatest Soviet generals, Marshal Grigory Zhukov, who won the Battle of Stalingrad and was the chief military strategist in World War II for the Russians. And Stalin was jealous of him. After the war, there was the famous military salute in Red Square, and then Stalin shunted off Zhukov to the provinces because he feared Stalin didn't trust anybody. He was a paranoid psychotic. Kurt Jurgens, great German actor, he's in many films. One of them is not Run Silent, Run Deep, but The Enemy Below with Robert Mitchum, where Jurgens played a submarine commander in World War II. Robert Mitchum playing a destroyed, and they stalked each other, and they ended up destroying each other. Jurgens was also in The Longest Day, played a general, and quite a few films. He died young, in his late 60s. Also today, this character of the Ibn Sun family, who assassinated his uncle, the king, Faisal Ibn Musa Abdullah Aziz, was executed publicly for his role, for his assassination of his monarch, his uncle, the king of Saudi Arabia. Now, this is controversial. The claim of the first life insurance policy was supposed to have been sold, at least in England, in 1583. But there is a dispute about that. Apparently, life insurance policies or insurance policies started with the Chinese and with Hammurabi back to the Middle East, and it was insurance or a loan to guarantee the safe delivery of goods. We'll get into that another day. Also on this day, the War of 1812 began. In 1815, Napoleon was defeated at Waterloo, and Napoleon always started his battles at the crack of dawn. But he was sick, and that affected his military thinking, his genius, and it was believed that he had hemorrhoids. No preparation age in those days. In 1873, suffragette Susan B. Anthony tried to vote for the president, and she was fined $100, quite a bit of money. Do you like macadamia nuts? Well, in 1892, macadamia nuts were planted in Hawaii, and they came from Australia. Isn't that interesting? Everybody thinks they were native to Hawaii, but they're not. 1928, Amelia Earhart was the first woman to fly the Atlantic as a passenger. 1942, the first black became a U.S. Navy ensign. Before that, they were just stewards on the ships. Bernard W. Robinson. I don't think he's related to Michelle, which is her maiden name. Robinson's kind of common among a lot of blacks. Also, among some Jews who were given that name, were given an anglicized name when they landed at Ellis Island. A lot of Anglo-Saxon names are actually given to the people of Jewish ancestry because the customs and immigration people couldn't pronounce their Jewish or Slavic or whatever name, so they gave them a name like Nelson, Robinson. Rabinowitz became Robinson, for instance. Some of the other names, I'll get into another name on the origin of the Anglicization of foreign names for immigrants. Also, on this day in 1945, one of the propagandists of World War II, a Brit named Lord Haha, I think it was William Joyce, he made broadcasts for the Nazis. One of the cases that I was involved in after she sought a pardon from President Ford was Rose Diaquino, who was born in the United States, Japanese ancestry, graduate of UCLA, and she got stuck in Japan at the beginning of the war, had passport problems, and she couldn't get out. And the Kempeitai, which is the Japanese secret police at that time, told her and other people, including an Australian who was captured, that if you don't broadcast, you will be executed or you'll go to the concentration camp. So here's this young woman in her early 20s forced to broadcast, and she didn't do anything treasonous. She just did jokes and played music. But she got an interesting story about her. And the family name was Taguri Aquino. She married a Filipino who was Aquino. I don't believe he was connected to the president of the Philippines, Bernardo Aquino, or Corazon Aquino. That's also a Spanish name given to Filipinos after Spain conquered the Philippines. In 1948, the National Security Council authorized the first covert operations. 1948 again, the UN issued the International Declaration of Human Rights. 1968, SCOTUS, the U.S. Supreme Court, banned discrimination in rental housing. And then in 1985, we had the Voting Rights Act of 1965 extended. Now, those of you who are going to do charity runnings or just running ought to take advice, pay attention to this next interview I did with a cardiologist. Comes from a family of cardiologists, and he gives advice to people who are doing marathons. Now, in the Beta Breakers 2012 marathon we had here in San Francisco a month ago, I witnessed a man, I guess he was a senior citizen, he collapsed from a heart attack. He didn't die, but we don't know what his status was or even if he's dead, but they tried to resuscitate him, and they ended up bringing him to the hospital. We do have the video of that, and we also have some other interesting videos. The video that's been expurgated, we went through it, of the Canadian cannibal, and there's a reason that we're going to put it up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. But here is Dr. Szymanski talking about his advice to people who are going to run in marathons or just go off running one day and they're not in shape. Dr. Eric, who is doing his resident cardiology, and it comes from a family of whose father is a cardiologist back east. Doc, every year we see people who are older and they try to do a marathon in San Francisco, in this case, from the Bay to the Breakers. And this year we had a guy who they thought was dead. He was lucky that they were able to get him to the hospital. We still don't know his condition. What practical tips could you tell people who go out on these charity walks, these marathons, and that sort of thing? And you're going to Boston, and you'll see the Boston Marathon.
Absolutely. So we see this very often, as it's been occurring with multiple marathons been occurring in the last couple of years. Chicago and also Boston recently had some deaths as well. Some of these we can't predict because they do occur in younger populations that have no known cardiovascular disease. And a lot of these are trained athletes and still unfortunately undergo these terrible end result events. However, for the untrained athlete, I think the bottom line is competitive racing, especially any exercise that is unusual for the patient, is usually not advised unless there has been a significant training period beforehand. So really, these marathons are for trained athletes, and for people who are not trained athletes, they should be undergoing at least a formal program for several months up to the point that can condition themselves. The other important thing is the racing environment. So a lot of times, the weather is very hot, and that also precipitates a lot of these events. Either whether they're just revivable events or actually terminal events, but staying hydrated, trying to stay out of very warm weather when you're exerting yourself to a point that's above and beyond your usual conditioning.
One quick question. We always see the African runners usually win. Are they more, shall we say, healthy, speaking from a cardiovascular situation, perspective?
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's anything genetically or structurally different about a lot of the African runners. They just tend to be very skilled athletes. So, but it is an unusual pattern, and they definitely tend to win most races. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Doc.
Absolutely.
I hope people take your advice and we
no
have
problem.
Less medical problems.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, that was Dr. Eric Szymanski, whose father is a cardiologist in Illinois, went to Northwestern University Medical School. Interestingly, Mayor Richard Daley I reportedly was sitting on a toilet and had a heart attack there, and that was back in the 70s. That's a little interesting history. Anyway, we will put up his video, which the video of the man having who collapsed. I think it's very salutary, and that will be on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Among the other things, since we'll get into the events today, it's Greek to me anyway. These are some interesting Greek laws, since we're focusing on Greece. For instance, If you don't pay your a parking ticket, this is what I'm told, or this is what I've been researching, that you're barred from health insurance till you pay the parking ticket. Just think of they had fun with that in California or here in the States. Also, I think this is a good idea, that polling is banned 2 weeks before an election so that an election is not unduly influenced. And anyway, there's a lot of questions about polls. I've done polling, both political and done the market research also. And a lot of questions about who writes the questions, who chooses the sampling, the population to be sampled, how many, who, if anybody, checks on the answers that are given. Are the people who put these polls together or who announce these results, are they honest? Are these polls manipulated? And are the people that they, in the sampling, are they qualified to be making these, giving these answers? I mean, you don't want illegal aliens making comments in a poll, a polling sample for the President of the United States, because these polls are used to influence legitimate voters. So there's a question there. Also, it's interesting, Prince Philip is 91 years old. He is the former ruling house of Greece. The last king was Constantine, and he was the son of Frederica and King George. They are actually Germans. The Germans are very busy populating a lot of the houses of Europe. Queen Victoria married Prince Albert of Saxe-Coburg. He was German, and he was the royal stud. And Prince Philip actually is probably distantly related to his wife, Queen Elizabeth II. Anyway, he's very ill. He's 91 years old. I don't know how much longer he's going to last. But anyway, after his father died, Philip was in the British Navy, and his mother became a Greek Orthodox nun, Sisters of Mercy or something. And there's a picture of her on the Amicus Veritas YouTube site, or and on this. So we'll be hearing more about him when he passes. I don't know when it'll be, but it's interesting. Queen Elizabeth II's mother lived to be over 100. So, but I don't know if Philip shares those type of genes. Now, the other question, they've been talking about Deep Throat and Woodward and Bernstein. I have heard, and several other people who are in the intelligence community and political cognoscenti have said that it wasn't this FBI deputy felt. It makes no sense anyway. How these papers and tapes were in the White House safes, and the FBI does not have access to that. It's the Marines that control the atmosphere of the White House, or it did during Nixon's time. We don't know what's going on right now. So, but felt probably this would be credible, that he was a conduit. And I keep hearing it was a Marine colonel. I'm going to check again because I want to be sure about the name. The other thing now, so if you don't want to end up with a heart attack, I do recommend that you follow Dr. Szymanski's advice. And also, we will be back Wednesday with hopefully some more interviews. And also, there's this possible scandal here with a major insurance company out of Chicago, CNA, where one of their policyholders' employees was monitoring cell phone reception, and he got into an accident. And the accident was videotaped, and there was audio tape of his response, and he also used, he hit someone, senior citizen, and the senior citizen lent him a cell phone. This is ironic. You know, he's supposed to be monitoring cell phone reception, and he didn't have one, and so he used the victim's cell phone. Well, anyway, CNA, Continental National Insurance Company, when they got all of the bills, the senior citizen has had 3 spinal surgeries before this accident, and he's had various medical treatment, all verified by medical doctors, no chiropractors, because chiropractors are looked down upon. Anyway, it was over $10,000 in medical bill, but CNA didn't want to pay, And so they bounced this claim from San Diego, La Brea, California, to some guy named Jason Mead in Colorado, supposed to be a lawyer. Then it was bounced to Chicago, the home office, and there's been no response on settling this legitimate claim on which there's full liability by CNA, because they're the insurer of the a guy who, or his employer, who hit this senior citizen, backed up into him, not watching where he was going, on a wrong-way driving on a one-way street. So we'll see where this goes and whether they can continue to stonewall. But there is a thing, a law in California called the Fair Claims Act, and it's been invoked. So we'll see if this insurance company will honor the claim and pay up. And, of course, if there's anybody else out there and they're unaware of how these people operate, this gives you an idea. It's a shame that they behave this way, but you gotta stand firm, you gotta fight smart, and you've got to be persistent. So we'll be back Wednesday. I'm losing my voice again, and we'll play our usual ending theme, which we're coming into the political season, and hopefully we will have other interviews as I promised. So here's our ending theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Five.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Venom.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovic, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Well, yep. Yeah. We'll see if they stack the deck. We know there are people out there. This is Peter Paul Brazilla. We'll be back Wednesday, 4 o'clock. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.